podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I want to underscore what Pastor Joshua said about the world we live in now is divided by two types of people. Those who use Apple iOS and those who are Android. And for a minute there, I was worried that he was about to split the church with his exhortation, but I think we're more mature than that, aren't we? This is the last time you're going to see this slide. Say goodbye to the slide of 2018. We've started the year quite very fast, and it's interesting that it feels like we're in March. We are only in January, and last Sunday we had Get Involved Sunday, where we showcased some of the things that you could get involved with church in. And I've only been here in this church for the last 13 months. And I've noticed that for this go-around, we had our biggest sign-up, and I do want to give the Lord glory and applaud you guys for jumping in and volunteering for this year. Next Sunday is Serve Our City Sunday. You know that as a church, we're deeply involved in a lot of extra ministries outside of the walls of the church. We are involved in helping a lot of the marginalized in the city, and we'll showcase more of that next week. Someone was asking me, why don't we have the booths of those last Sunday? It's because we have a particular Sunday just for that. Our journey for the beginning of this year began with clarity. We said that if we were to journey through life this year, the best position is to be clear at least where your values lie. Hard to go to any place if you don't even know where you were going or it wasn't clear. Driving without clear vision is a disaster, as you can tell. We used the illustration of a bucket list, and we said that the bucket, if you were looking at it from the top view, has five sides to it. The idea of relationships. It's now becoming obvious as best-selling books have now emanated that a lot of success is not how bright you are or whatever school you came from. In fact, most A students never make it as CEOs. The guys that actually make it are the guys that are good with relationships, the guys who can build networks, the guys who can be trusted, the guys who know how to forgive, the guys who know how to love, the guys who can communicate properly. Hence, we said one of the values that we need to be clear about this year would be relationships. And we saw that in the words of Jesus in Matthew 6. We talked about the importance of health, hard to have a relationship if you're unhealthy. And we talk about the significance of money, that money is not a side issue. It's actually an important issue, but it's not the main issue. We talked about the importance of enjoyment, that sometimes we overdo life and we become extremely stressed. And instead of having a fullness of life, we are losing that sense of enjoyment. And then the idea of excellence. We said that these are the walls of our bucket, but these are all for naught if we don't have the bottom of the bucket, which is God Himself. Which is why we said clarity in beginning the year of understanding. These are my goals. These are my goals for the year. My relationships get better. My health gets better at 60 years old. My money increases. My enjoyment increases. My grandchildren, I'm expecting my fourth grandchild very soon. My excellence increases. And the key there is not just clarity, but consecrating the year for God, which is why we began with the fast. But we pointed out in the last 2 weeks that there's a challenge. And the challenge is while we have clear values and we know we've consecrated ourselves to God, there is a challenge of pre-existing habits. And we said in the last 2 weeks that these habits tend to manifest in an automatic way. Whether we want to do it or not, they're just the way they happen to be because they're very strong. We are, by all intents and purposes, products of our habits. What we eat, what we wear, our health, our relationships, how we interface with our marriages are habitual. We looked at the track of habits. We reviewed that the beginning of every habit begins with a discovery, a revelation, something that we discover. That's tennis, good habits, bad habits, pornography, drunkenness, or whatever. Chess, volleyball, discoveries become desires. The intensity of discovery results in an intensive desire. That intensity of the desire leads to a decision. That decision becomes the delight, the thing that we enjoy doing that inevitably becomes an addiction, a devotion, the way we behave, and then eventually becomes just who we are. In other words, character, as Noah Webster in his first edition of the 1828 dictionary stated, that the peculiar qualities impressed by nature or habit on a person which distinguish him from others, these constitute real character. Now, interesting that he said peculiar qualities. My wife and I were just talking about, when you're our age, some of your conversation becomes a lot about food supplements. And we were talking about what food supplement works for her and what doesn't work for me. And we came to the conclusion that CoQ10 does not work for me, but it works very well for her. And there's certain things that work for me. So, in other words, there are peculiar things about you that really, at the end of the day, is what makes you you. You're unique. Don't try to copy someone else. Figure out and discover where God's created you and how he's created and intended you to be. But it also says that it's impressed by nature. Some of that's naturally born of you, but some of that's habitual. It's habits that we've developed that's caused us to be distinguished from others, whether good distinguishing or bad distinguishing. The point is these constitute our real character, which is why this conversation is important, because it determines whether your character will be good or bad, which determines whether you're just going to be someone who's still evolving and developing or someone who's just a maintainer. We said that to change those habits, you need to have an intensity of new discoveries, revelation. That's why you go to church. The point of a revelation is to give you an intense discovery that will lead you to a brand new desire, hopefully a stronger desire, that will lead you to a decision. But unfortunately, because the existing habits are so strong, what tends to happen is not a delight, but a dip. The dip gives you a choice of turning left into a loop, which, welcome to the treadmill of the New Year's resolution, amen, which, by the way, is fast approaching. In 2 more months, some of you will not be here because you're already looping. We're always there. That's why gyms are packed full from January to March, and that slowly trickles down to less and less, and the diet program no longer works. The Bible reading program stalls and fails because you're in a loop. Same discovery, nicer, better said, same desire, same decision, same dip, same loop. Every year, feel like it's moving, but nothing's happening. Destiny's not changing. We said there's another option, and that's to not just to dip, because we can be a maintainer, a looper, or we can be a dropout, just quit. Then we said there's a way to change this, and that's to change course. The way to go about it is to, again, the idea of an intense discovery, which leads to an intense desire, which leads to a decision. That's how I got married. I discovered my wife. I desired her. The intensity of desire made me make a decision to marry her. A few months after that, it wasn't as delightful. We realized we're two different people, CoQ10 and everything else, which led to a dip. And we said you can change that this year by, instead of having a dip, die to yourself. The best way to fix a marriage, the best way to fix your health issues, and then turn to brand new delights, brand new devotions, hence a brand new destiny. Easy to talk about, easy to make into a keynote presentation, hard to do. And we need to have reasons why we want to do it, because that's the strategy. If you want to change life this year and become more and more like Christ, you need to know why you want to die to yourself. There's a few reasons why. The first reason is it's the path that pleases God. That's enough reason for you to do it. If that were the only reason, you should do it. But there are other important reasons. The second reason is the path for resurrecting what's dead. Resurrection life that Christ gave us is not after you physically die. It actually begins every day of your life. If you want a good marriage, you need to die to yourself, die to your selfishness, die to your own issues. And when you do that, God gives you an opportunity and uses that death to resurrect that marriage into newness of life. Same with your health issues. Same with your relationship issues. Same with your financial issues. There's some things that you need to die to, habits and patterns of spending that you need to change in order for God to resurrect that. It's a path to resurrecting what's dead. Number three, it's a path to a values-filled destiny. You know, all these values come together, the bucket starts to fill, and when that bucket starts to fill, we're able to give away freely, without regret, without doubt, without holding back, because we're overabundant. We're just so full, we can give everything away. But probably the most important reason why you want to do that is it's the path your children will take. If you don't have children, it's the path your friends will take. In case you haven't figured it out yet, we copy each other. Hello, you have a baby. I now have my 3 grandsons. You stick your tongue out and you find the baby. some parents, they kind of get angry when they see their children acting like monkeys, not realizing they're just following the patterns of a bigger monkey. Which is why you want to change your habits, because I'm just carrying a handkerchief. I just realized this today, and I thought, why do I carry this thing? I can't go anywhere in the world without this. It's because it's a habit my father taught me. It's a habit. And you become what your habit is, what peculiar, good or bad, you're either maintaining, you're shifting and changing, or you're becoming a new creation in Christ, or you're just the same way, feeling like you're moving forward, but you really are not. My text this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" He's talking about this idea of salt. Now, you might be thinking, salt, I'm table salt. Not quite. When Jesus said these words, salt was not what we think of it. Salt in those days was a lot more valuable. In fact, today, salt is still an invaluable commodity, apart from the fact that it's been commoditized. Maybe you're not aware of this, but there's approximately 200 million tons of salt that are used up by our earth every year. Thankfully, not most of that is something we eat. 6% of that is what we eat. The rest of that goes into manufacture of paper, chemicals, all sorts of things that you and I will never have apart from salt. But in the days of Jesus, salt was very valuable. In fact, wars were fought over salt because it was a currency of trade. In the times when they didn't have money, the idea of changing things was salt. Because salt primarily was something that was used to preserve things. You couldn't preserve meats if you didn't have salt in those days, and you would be wasting a lot of goods. Pickling things was salt. It was something to preserve, and that's what salt meant when Jesus said that. It was extremely valuable, and that's, by the way, who you and I are. We are preservatives of this earth. You take away the godly people of this world, and you're going to have hell on this earth. And when we start not becoming the salt, then we endanger this world. Not only is salt a preservative in those days, it was a healing compound. It was used to heal bodies, wounds. It was different uses of health that was important in those days. And not only was it used for healing properties, it was obviously used for flavoring. Interesting, this morning, I was running late. I came from Indonesia and arrived yesterday. And I got in a cab, and the driver, I asked him, "Uncle, how old are you?" He's 71 years old, and we were talking to each other, and he started, after a while, I said, "So what do you think of your country? I think your country is so good." And he starts to berate the government. He just starts, "This country," he just talks about the CPF, and "I have nothing to show for it, I have no money, I've grown," he went on and on. I'm thinking, I got to get out of this cab. The flavor is getting bad. It's getting toxic. It's not nice. And I'm supposed to preach, amen? In a few minutes, I'm about to step up there, and all this bad flavor is coming to me. As we rounded up Vivo City, I said, "Uncle, before we get in, let me just say something to you. I traveled the world. I've been to Africa. I've been multiple times to South America, to North America, all over Asia. Your country, my own country, the Philippines, 80% of people don't have homes. You have a great country. The atmosphere changed. Parked the car, I got off, "Uncle, have a good day." He turned around and said, "Thank you, sir. I enjoyed our conversation." You don't always have to convert somebody to be salt. You just have to be salt. You just have to be who you are. You just have to bring healing. Because not because you're trying to convert someone, it's simply because that's who you are. It's either your salt or not. Now, the interesting thing about salt is a chemical compound. It's not a single entity. It's made out of two things. It's made out of sodium and it's made out of chloride. Sodium by itself is an explosive. Chloride by itself is toxic. It'll kill you. What's interesting is when you put these two things together, they become salt, which is extremely valuable. You can't do that. That's what God does. He causes all things to work together for the good of them that love him, than those that he's called according to his purposes. And that's who you are. And that's not going to happen if you have old habits, old patterns, bad ones that you insist on keeping. and looping around the track rather than saying, this is the year. I want to be clear about what my values are, what really matters, and where are the areas in my life that I need to die to. And by the way, it's not going to happen next month, not in March, not in April, not in May, not in June. And if you don't start now, next year we're going to talk about the same thing and you're going to feel as guilty, and at some point you're going to tire of the message and you're going to drop out. By the way, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not trying to manipulate you into it. I'm trying to get you clear so when you wonder why things aren't happening, at least you know. Amen? By the way, the person that couldn't help you the best is you. Don't look at your neighbor, look at you. That's you. The only person who can motivate you the best and change your habits is not your wife, it's you. Now, notice in verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall it now be salty again? In other words, he's saying if you lose your saltiness, this idea of godliness on the earth literally disappears. It's sad, isn't it, that now these days when the word Christian is mentioned or pastor or priest or Christianity, it really doesn't feel like salt. It actually feels like more like a fake. And there is such a thing as a fake salt. Be careful, by the way, when you take in salt. There's two kinds of salt. There's a regular salt that's mined and natural. And then there's salt that's processed. It's iodized salt that you find in your pizza. If you eat a lot of that, that's not something you can digest a lot. And you're going to need that for the dough. Because the way they process that is they impute about thousands of degrees of centigrade to purify it and to stabilize it so that they can sell massive volumes of it. Fortunately, it kills all the minerals, it kills all the things that are necessary, and it's undigestible. It stays in your body. Be careful about not just being salt, but becoming true salt. Not just salt as in quote-unquote Christian, but you're not flavoring. You're not preserving. You're not healing. Amen? Now, he goes on to say it's no longer good for anything. Remember the story that I said about salt in the early days? When salt lost its efficacy, they used it as binders for roads. Salt had a way of this holding together, becoming more solid and weatherproofing ancient roads. That's what Jesus was talking about. In other words, it's no longer capable of healing, of flavoring, of preserving anything. We might as well just use it to cover roads so they become weatherproof. And when people just stomp on it and they're really used, and sometimes that's what happens to Christians. We're no longer the salt that flavors the offices and the companies we work for, or the houses and the families that we belong to. We're no longer the healers, the ones that sustain and the ones that preserve. And that's why he said they're no longer useful or anything except to be thrown up and trampled underfoot. That's what he was saying. They're just good for pavement. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. He's now shifting. He says, you're not just salt, you're light. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp. He's basically saying, you can't hide this light. Salt has certain properties and certain reasons for its existence. Light has a very different reason for its existence. Light illuminates. Light clarifies. When you have revelation and you have light in your life, you get greater clarity. Light brightens a place. Light actually also exposes. Imagine a world where there is no salt and light. A world that's flavorless, a world that you cannot preserve, a world that's wantonly running the opposite direction. And a dark world. And he says, you and me are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. A city that you expose. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And gives it all the people in the house light. He makes sure that this is something we all understood. And he said, in the same way that light's like that, let your light shine before others. This idea of private faith and don't mess with me, Jesus is telling you who you need to be is the person that illuminates this world. So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let me close this message. How can I be salt and light this year? Start with, choose to die to yourself every day. Interesting article about this incredible testimony of a former gymnast in the United States who was sexually abused and was in court. This is recent. And the testimony was covered by CNN. And the excerpt of the testimony was so gripping that the world saw light, saw salt in a courtroom about a doctor who molested a number of young girls who were members of her athletic team. Let me read excerpts of it. You become a man ruled by selfish and perverted desires. This is this girl confronting her molester. A man defined by his daily choices repeatedly to feed that selfishness and perversion. You chose to pursue your wickedness no matter what it cost others, and the opposite of what you have done is for me to choose to love sacrificially no matter what it cost. You can imagine the tension in the room as other people who were also molested and parents were there, including hers. She began to say, in our early hearings, you brought your Bible into the courtroom and you have spoken of praying for forgiveness. And so it is on that basis that I appeal to you. If you have read the Bible you carry, you know the definition of sacrificial love portrayed is of God himself loving so sacrificially that he gave up everything to pay a penalty for the sin he did not commit. By his grace, I too choose to love this way. You spoke of praying for forgiveness, but Larry, not our Larry, amen? Just to be sure. If you have read the Bible you carry, you know forgiveness does not come from doing good things. As if good things can erase what you have done, it comes from repentance, which requires facing and acknowledging the truth about what you have done in all its utter depravity and horror, without mitigation, without excuse, without acting as if good deeds can erase what you have seen in this courtroom today. Boy, that's powerful. Light and salt that knows its rights and its truth. And yet in the midst of that, the Bible you speak carries a final judgment where all of God's wrath is poured out on men like you. Should you ever reach the point of truly facing what you have done, the guilt will be crushing, and that is what makes the gospel of Christ so sweet, because it extends grace and hope and mercy where none should be found, and it will be there for you. Imagine the light and the salt in that courtroom. I pray you experience the soul-crushing weight of guilt so you may someday experience the true repentance and true forgiveness from God, which you need far for more than the forgiveness from me, though I extend it to you as well. How do you become salt and light? Choose to die to yourself. Choose to live for Jesus. She would have better off stayed private. Who needs this testimony? Why should I go out on a limb for others? Because you're salt. Because you're light. How do I become salt and light? Connect to the world without compromise. Sometimes with Christians, I no longer want to connect with the world. I'm just going to be my secret agent Christian here. My son, Joseph, is celebrating his 7th anniversary tomorrow. And I was watching his wedding video. My son is a pastor. And he married a Philippine mega superstar. She got saved, got born again, and basically quit her job as an actress and went back to university and became an honors student. It was news. It was huge news in my country. My son wasn't interested. He was just wanting to become a pastor. But one day, as he was walking the halls of the church, he passed her, and she was carrying a book of C.S. Lewis's. And she said he was kind of flabbergasted and wondering, what does an actress do reading C.S. Lewis? So he broached her and said, do you read that? Oh, yeah, I'm just beginning to love it. And he said, I have a collection of that. I grew up in those books. And that began the love story. Now, you have to understand something. This girl had a lot of money, and my son had a broken down, almost falling apart car. In essence, what happens is they fall in love. They dated on February 14. They go out on a Valentine's date, and she's driving this car, and finally the car died on that day. But because she couldn't drive, she had to push the car in the highway while he was driving to get it to a gas station. That was big news. Pastor's car dies and superstar actress pushes the car. Because she's an actress, even her wedding gown is in the news. And so one day she got interviewed by these two homosexuals. Nothing wrong with homosexuals. They're humans, but they're what they call themselves. They're gay. And they were interviewing both of them, and they were saying to him, well, how is your sex life? He said, we don't have one. We haven't been married yet. I plan to kiss her on the day that I marry her. Now, my daughter-in-law came from a world of that needed redemption. My son married her because he believes that there's such a thing as redemption, that Jesus can do something magnificent. One of the gay guys basically said, how do I find a guy like you? And Joseph, not wanting to offend him, but at the same time not wanting to back off and not connect and speak the truth, looked at him and said, I became like this because of Jesus. My advice to you is don't look for a guy like that. You look for Jesus. There's a way where you don't have to be offensive, and yet you don't back down from being salt and light, but being who you are. But that's the big question, isn't it? Is Jesus really the light of your life? Because if he is, then it doesn't matter who's coming after you, because at the end of the day, we all die. And are you certain about that destiny? That's the basis for why you want to change your life. Because you want to be excellent for God's glory. That's why you want to be salt and light. You don't want to be salt and light just so you can be popular. There's too many celebrities these days. They're all commodities now, which means low value. High value is living for God. If you ever find yourself in the Fullerton Hotel, you go to the lobby and you'll find a bust of a man. His name is Ng Teng Fong, and he's the founder of one of the largest conglomerates in the city and in Hong Kong. You can go there. I won't spoil the surprise for you. You can read the inscriptions in his bust. He's a Christian. I brought a man once there, and he said, I know this man. This man built a hospital in my village. I know this man, and on and on and on. He did this and he did that, but to him, he did it to glorify God. Now, I'm not saying that every one of you should be a billionaire by a stretch. I was in Indonesia last night with our SOC team, our Serve Our City team. These are wives, husbands, employees, IT specialists, engineers, mapping and planning how we can excellently serve our city this year. Excellence is not all about money, folks. It's about being salt and light. That's my little message as we end this series. By the way, next week we start again in Genesis 11. How many of you are excited? Okay. Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you've counted us worthy to be salt and light of the earth. Would you just lay hands in your hearts? God, let it be our goal this year, not just to change our habits for the sake of changing our habits, but to know that that pleases you. And that's the way of resurrection. And that's the way to a value-filled life. And that's the way of the world as they see us live in your righteousness. Seal the simple truth in each of our hearts, and may we accomplish it not by our own striving and works, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace that comes with you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.